Hey, everyone, thank you for joining us today at ID Sports. Today, we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens and our 2021 stat projections. I almost stuck the landing on that introduction. We'll try again next time. I have 32 more chances at this before the season starts. We're here today with Alex, who's our resident Vikings fan, but we're talking about a rival here in the Baltimore Ravens. And we got Steve as usual, guys. How you doing today?
Boo, let's get this over with. I don't want to talk about Ravens. Boo.
I do want to talk about Ravens, and we're going to start with Lamar Jackson, the quarterback. Jackson had a down year in 2020 in yardage, attempts, completions, touchdowns, completion percentage, quarterback rating, all across the board in 2020. I have him for next season at 3,029 yards and 28 passing touchdowns with 9 interceptions. I also have him with 170 rushes for 1,105 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns. His 362 total fantasy points, or 21.3 points per week, has him as my quarterback 7.
Well, I mean, you are outside of the consensus here because Jackson is right now quarterback 4.
So you can guess what I'm going to say here. I am out. Another year of defenses figuring him out. Another year with a questionable receiving core. All have me no thank you on Lamar Jackson. We also talked about my preference for either stud quarterbacks or late quarterbacks. He is neither, so I will be passing. I do have, obviously, my top tier guys is Kyler, Dak, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes. Lamar Jackson is not even in my top tier of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and his ADP, his ADP has him going in the 5th round, going as high as the 2nd, low as the 6th. And that, and even if he was to drop to you in the 6th round, you would no. still...
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, because that actually leads me to the point that I wanted to make with this. You know, I know that he will still have continued fantasy success, but how long can it really be sustained? You know, and a good player to comp him to is Cam Newton, because they have basically the same playing style. Not to mention, you know, there was last year, that 3-game stretch where the team was just spiraling, you know, and, you know, unlike
he also
Cam
took a
Newton,
poop break in one of the games because things weren't going his way.
And unlike Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson has been injured in his first 3 seasons, but Cam, I think he went 4 seasons before he finally missed a game, you know, and it just. I don't think he's going to, obviously, I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to go the route of RG3, but, you know, how many more seasons do you guys think Lamar Jackson can have the sustained level of success before he actually starts going the route of Cam Newton?
How long till they get a number one receiver? Then you can answer that question.
Well, I mean,
go out and get a number one receiver to help your franchise quarterback. If they won't do that, then you can't expect him to get any better. I mean, Marquise Brown, we'll talk about it later. Hollywood Brown is not a number one. And until they address that problem,
what about Bateman, the rookie?
Again, a rookie. Is he going
He's
to
a rookie. We're going to talk about Bateman in a little while. We'll talk about that. This is obviously a run first team. For me, Lamar Jackson has no value once he stops running the football. And that's the question for me. Lamar Jackson turns into a mediocre at best, just a really bad pocket quarterback. His value, much like, you know, like Jalen Hurts we're talking up this season, it's kind of the same thing. If he stops running, his value's gone. Otherwise, he's got some value. He will not be on any of my rosters, but for his feet, and even then at his price, no thank you. Let's talk about J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins emerged as a solid threat in the Baltimore offense last year with 6 straight starts at the end of the season with a touchdown and a beautiful 6.01 yards per game. 6.01 yards per rush, not per game, excuse me. He is certainly on a run that could give him 15 carries a week, which is going to be valuable in fantasy football. I have met 235 total rushes, 1,269 yards, and 13 touchdowns. adding 28 receptions, 171 yards, and a receiving touchdown. That lands him as running back 14 in my rankings.
Dobbins is currently running back 15. He has an ADP of 210. He's going as high as 112 and low as 306. And I really like your rushing stat line for him. I don't like your receiving stat line. I think he's going to have more receptions. I think he's going to have more receptions and yards. That's my only thing with him.
And it's, for me, it's not that I have any other running back having the receptions. I just, Lamar's going to tuck and run. He's not going to check down to a running back. We know that. So maybe even, what would I have, Matt? 28 receptions. That's like 28 designed passing plays that aren't checkdowns. That's mm-hmm. to a game. That's okay with me, really, to be completely honest, because that's not this Baltimore team's game plan here. So where do you have him at his current ADP again, Steve?
210. That's his, 210 is the average.
So running back 15, I have him at running back 14. So I guess for me, that's a value. However, I think there is some inherent risk. Gus Edwards is going to be involved in the game plan.
I was going to bring that up.
He's still the running back two on his own team to his own quarterback. So while it could very easily be a much better season that exceeds what I'm talking about now, it could also very easily, if the wheels fall off, if Lamar Jackson does have a down year like we all think, the wheels can come off in the other direction too. So I think there is some volatility to J.K. Dobbins, and if you like it, that's good for you. If you don't like that volatility, then you're going to stay away. Alex, what are we going to say?
Well, not having Mark Ingram there, so he's going to get more carries. So obviously, the numbers you could project are going to be, higher than last year. I really like J.K. Dobbins. I think he could even do even better than you're saying with some luck. Now, if somehow the Ravens gets any kind of better passing game, that should open up the running game even more for Dobbins to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is Gus Edwards inside the 10, inside the 5, to me, it seems like last year they gave him the ball a lot. I don't know if you guys know in front of you. I don't have the stats.
I do. I have all those stats. We can talk about that next.
Third and one, it seems like Gus Edwards is in the game, not J.K. Dobbins. So I have some concerns about that. But you can also see that he can break out and get 200-plus carries, 1,300 yards, easy in 10 touchdowns. I can see him easily pulling that off this year. Again, the Ravens passing game has to be better for these guys, even the running game, to have big numbers. If it's not, it's going
to
be less than
the offense. Get to those red zone stats. Inside the 5-yard line, 42.9% of those rushes went to Gus Edwards. Nine rushes for 2 yards and 3 touchdowns. 38.1%, 8 rushes, went to J.K. Dobbins for 16 yards and 7 touchdowns. Dobbins was clearly the better back, but they still kept giving Gus Edwards the ball. So maybe if it's Gus bus time, maybe the coaches figure it out that it just isn't working as well. But I'm worried about that.
All
right. Did they just sign Gus Edwards too, right? Gus Edwards got a contract extension.
2-year extension for a lot of money.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just gonna say this because yes, he's still there given an extension. But think about it. Dobbins has the skill set, he has the speed, and he has the receiving ability to take this job and not look back. And I think we all agree that this is Dobbins' job. But, the thing is that Gus Edwards, he has a very limited ceiling, and, he has been, and he has to have just incredible efficiency to duplicate the production he has had the last two seasons. And that's something that is going to be extremely hard to do, especially since Dobbins offers more flexibility in the offense. He's not a rookie anymore. He doesn't have to compete with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. He only has to compete with Gus Edwards. And I said this.
He also has something else to compete with, and that's his frame, 5'9", 200 pounds. I mean, you look at Gus Edwards, 6'1", 3'4", 240.
That doesn't bother me.
I was like, 340? What the hell?
240. And I said this in Shark Week. J.K. Dobbins is a top 10 running back with top 3 potential, and I am firmly standing by that.
So am I, technically, before a snap in the season is off. I think that is hot for Dobbins. I like it. I think that is within the realm of possibility. However, when I'm drafting and I'm taking these projections into rankings, because projections and rankings aren't necessarily the same thing, I am adding that upside, but also it's very low possibility for me of that happening. It is possible. Let's talk about Hollywood Brown. Marquise Hollywood Brown, Didn't have the sophomore explosion we were kind of hoping for. In 16 games, just 100 targets, 58 receptions, 769 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Those are not very good receiving numbers. It's only a 58% catch rate. This year, I have him passing the 60% mark with 90 targets, 54 receptions, 734 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Very similar numbers to his 2020 year. Not because he's not a year better. Not because he's not capable. It's just not a high-volume passing offense, and for that, I'm not going to be very interested throughout the fantasy season.
All right. Well, he is currently wide receiver 46. His ADP is 1005, and he's being as drafted as high as the 8th round and as low as the 11th round. Alex, I'm going to start with you, buy or sell on that.
Yeah, well, somebody has to catch the ball there. I mean, eighth round, no. That's too high.
You know? But what about it? What about his ADP in the 10th?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not excited. He does that. I don't get excited. If I draft him, I'm not excited. I have him on my team, to be honest with you. I'm not. I'm like 5 touchdowns. Maybe if he has 10 touchdowns, that's like you're like, wow, I'm really happy. I'm seeing like 5 touchdowns, like, you know, 900 yards, something like that. Like, I don't see it. I'm to me, I better have 2 or 3 receivers ahead of me. Head of my in my fantasy team if I'm going to draft Marquise Brown, because if I'm relying on him then for me to win anything, it's just not going to happen.
Okay, so quick update. His ADP since I wrote the doc has actually dropped. He has dropped to wide receiver 46. He's still in the 10th round, but the lowest he's been drafted now is the 12th.
Yeah, so that's still a no for me, because at that point we're looking for our backups, or maybe our first or second backup running back, our first or second backup wide receiver. And we look at guys who are being drafted in that spot. You got guys like Gabriel Davis, who I'm excited for. Curtis Samuel, who I am okay with. Jerry Jeudy, who I could be excited for. Devonta Smith, who I really want a good look at. So I want all these guys way more than Hollywood Brown. So in the spot where he's going, he's the least like kind of standout guy. There is no chance in any NFL season in 2021 in any of my leagues I'm going to plug Hollywood Brown in and sleep like a baby. It's not going to happen.
I'm with you.
He's someone you're second guessing every time. And when you do start him, you're like, man, I hope he catches that touchdown this week, because if not,
yeah. Waivers.
and you know, the thing is that we've seen Brown be a complete burner. You know, but his catch rate, you know, as you said, just inconsistent. 58% on 100 targets. You know, the thing is Brown is the only reason that thing that makes Brown a buy is his career yards per reception, which is 13 yards. And he has produced touchdowns. So, you know, that does make him a prime candidate to be, if you're in a 3 wide receiver league, I would take him to be that 3rd wide receiver or the flex.
Nope.
Not even as a wide receiver 3?
Absolutely not. Wow. Fifth, yeah, maybe. She's outvalued by a full round. And we haven't even talked about this Baltimore Ravens offensive line starring, Kevin Zeitler and Alejandro Villanueva. I am out. I would want to talk a little about Rashad Bateman. We're going to skip over Sammy Watkins, because at this point in his career, we all know who Sammy Watkins is. Right?
I didn't even put him in the doc.
But we know who he is. We know what he's going to do. We know what he's going to do, and he's going to have a game. It's going to be week one. He's going to be 3 touchdowns, 150 yards receiving week one, and then he goes back into hibernation like Sammy Watkins does. But let's talk about Rashad Bateman. He lines up like Stephon Diggs, according to Player Profiler. Unfortunately, you know, Diggs plays on a team that's going to target him 160 times. Bateman has a much, much lower ceiling. I have him in his rookie campaign, 65 targets, 40 receptions, 484 yards, and 4 touchdowns, which, by the way, don't be spoiled by 2020 and 2019. That's a really good rookie year for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that's what I got. Steve, where are you going?
He's wide receiver 63. His ADP is the 14th round, being as drafted as high as 1108, and he's obviously gone undrafted. While you guys are starting your buy or sell, I'm going to see if he is still, actually, he went up a ranking. He went up to wide receiver 62.
Yeah, so that's fine with me. He's 76 on my board and a no-go. Again, volume, guys. You want guys who are going to get a chance to get six targets a week. I don't see any path for that happening to Rashad Bateman. There are other skilled players on that roster still, Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, Sammy Watkins, who are going to be standing in the way. He's not going to be on the field half the time. It's a no for me. I really couldn't be bothered with Rashad Bateman.
Golden Tate, I heard, is talking to them also.
Slot
receiver on a team that doesn't run a slot receiver. Brilliant.
So the thing is, Willie Snead was ran the slot for a couple years on that team, and he was good. But, Bateman has a better route tree than Hollywood Brown. And, hopefully he'll be more durable than Sammy Watkins. I think Sammy Watkins is his only competition. I think that Watkins, to start the season, he'll get the majority of the number two work, but then he'll inevitably go down. And the hope here is that Bateman will get a good target share so he can keep that job. It just comes down to the target share.
You just said Willie Snead was good, and I threw up in my mouth. But let's move on and talk about Mark Andrews, because that's really the guy who I'm targeting on this Baltimore offense. Mark Andrews has been very consistent in his career, 66% catch rate, solid touchdown total each season. This year I have him 105 targets, 70 receptions, 879 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I believe that's more than any one wide receiver. I'd have to go and look over those totals. Yes, I do have Mark Andrews as the receiving leader on the team. Where is he going in fantasy drafts?
He is currently tight end 5 with an ADP of 503, going as high as 304 and as low as 604. Now, Bob, you have said before that you would not take a tight end as early as the 5th round. Would you make an exception for Mark Andrews there?
Yeah, and you know what? I think this year in general, I'm not going by that necessarily. In fact, I think this is the year, if you can nail down one of the top guys, you should do it early. Like, I would go running back, tight end, running back, if I could get Waller at the back end of the second round or something like that, for sure. I have my tiers are Kelsey and Waller, a big gap, Kittle and Hockenson, a big gap, Mark Andrews by himself in the third wide receiver tier. I think he is that good at number 5, and I think that is the 5 tight ends you really want. We're going to add Kyle Pitts and Noah Fant to kind of a half tier underneath that of, like, we got kind of question marks. We know they're going to be great, but is it this year or the year after? So I'm okay with that. I have Mark Andrews currently at 5. He's going at tight end 5 in the 5th round, meaning I already have 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers. Heck yeah, I want a good tight end. If I can get Mark Andrews, that's it. Or Kyle Pitts.
Okay, so here's my thing with him. I do agree that he is a good tight end. But the thing is that he's going to give you big boom games and a lot of bust games. Andrews is lauded as a great tight end, but he hasn't been as consistent as he seems. Looking at his 2020 stats, he played 14 games. He had 7 games over 10 points and 7 games under 10 points. And in those 7 games under 10 points, he averaged 4.7 points. And also in those 7 games, he had averaged under 10. He had 42 targets, 23 receptions for a 54% catch percentage. I think out of the top 5, I do agree that he should be in the top 5 conversation, but I also think that he is the riskiest of those top 5.
I agree with that, but those aren't necessarily bad stats. I mean, we look at tight ends. What do we say a good tight end week is? 3 for 32. What is that? 4.5 points. So 4.7 points. Okay, on a bad week, and you hope for the touchdown. That's the best you can do at the tight end position. 3 for 32. Pray for a touchdown. He's been doing that. He's going to win you weeks when he does get those. And plus, you have to look at his multi-touchdown games. Multiple times in his career.
I was going to say that.
He's got two touchdowns, and that shows you that it's not just a fluke touchdown. It's a matchup problem. He's creating nightmares against the linebackers, against the secondary, and he's getting two when he scores. So that, to me, adds a little bit to his boom potential, and it shows you just how good he is. It's not just a fluke. Hey, flip a coin. Maybe he gets a touchdown. Maybe he doesn't. No, he's getting schemed to get those touchdowns. It's
intentional. I'm with Bob. I'm with Bob. It seems like when you watch football each week, Mark Andrews, when he does well, it's a multiple touchdown game all the time. Yeah. I mean, the games you've seen, it's like a two touchdown game, 66 yards, two touchdowns, which is great fantasy numbers if you're playing fantasy. To me, I as a top five, I mean, those weeks where he's getting the two touchdowns, you're killing your opponent unless they have Kittle, unless they have Kelsey. You got that category in your back pocket with Andrews as your tight end. I would put him top four, maybe even. I mean, I like him.
I wouldn't put him top four. I would definitely put him, you know, him and Kyle Pitts in that top five, only because I don't know. I think that Kyle Pitts could really get him, you know, because Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, Hockenson. You know, of those four,
I would put him ahead of Hockenson.
Oh, I would not. Hockenson's going to be the lead receiver for the
Lions. And Sir Alex, I would just like to correct you when you talk about the two top tight ends here. We talk about Kelsey and Waller, so just please correct that for next time.
I disagree with you, Bob, because I think George Kittle.
We will talk about that when it gets to time. But here we have Mark Andrews. It's a buy for me. It's a buy from Alex. It's a sell for you, Steve.
Yeah,
you just trashed me. Have to sell. You have to pick sell.
I mean, he's just too risky for me, because when I'm looking for top five, I want consistency. But, you know, that's also me on my dynasty team being spoiled to have George Kittle on my team. So, you know.
There you go. That was the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we're doing every NFL team, just some projections that we're going off my projections and against the ADP rankings from popular websites
for fantasy football calculator.
So you can join us as we go over every NFL team. Make sure you click the bell icon so you get notified. Subscribe to our page. You can find us at iadsports.com, youtube.com/i80sports, Twitter at i80_sports, or what is the last one? Every major podcast platform. Guys, thank you for joining us here tonight on iad sports.